Very seriously. Visit us at Doherty Ferry in Big Bend or learn more at wowdiamonds.com.
Shop local for all of your medical and sanitation supply needs with family-owned St. Louis staple, Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Work with Marco and his family directly, and they will handle your order. Masks, hand sanitizer, sanitizing wipes, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Everyone is getting back to work, and Bertarelli Cutlery can customize your plexiglass dividers for your workplace. Contact Marco directly by emailing marco@bertarellico.com or calling 314-323-0712, and he will take your order and take care of you.
Kimmel's is back with new outdoor seating and safety protocols, but nothing has changed on their incredible menu with the same recipes treating St. Louis for 93 years. They're still kicking it with nightly music and the best happy hour in STL, Monday through Saturday starting at 3:30 p.m. Easily accessible from anywhere in town with a friendly professional staff and the best owner in the business. Kimmel's Chop House is the perfect stop. Kimmel's, with the new patio, the partitions, and the pasta.
Shop local for all of your medical and sanitation supply needs with family-owned St. Louis staple, Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Work with Marco and his family directly, and they will handle your order. Masks, hand sanitizer, sanitizing wipes, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Everyone is getting back to work, and Bertarelli Cutlery can customize your plexiglass dividers for your workplace. Contact Marco directly by emailing marco@bertarellico.com or calling 314-323-0712, and he will take your order and take care of you.
For the best hot dogs and sausages in St. Louis, Dirty Dogs Hot Dogs is all you need. Dine in and enjoy their luxurious patio or order carryout and curbside pickup with online ordering at DirtyDogsHotDogs.com. All their meats and buns are custom made just for them. That means the freshest 100% Angus beef hot dogs, kielbasa, and so much more. And just be prepared to spend some time deciding between 140 different beers. Check them out and order online at DirtyDogsHotDogs.com. That's Dirty Dogs with a Z.
Joe Rusevans with FRA Trust here, and as a leading financial professional for almost 40 years, I want to help you take control of your financial future in this post-pandemic economy. If you have over $250,000 in a retirement account, or perhaps you've recently been furloughed and don't know what to do, my team at FRA Trust would love to help you learn how to turn a 401k retirement account into your own personal IRA. Don't delay. Call us today at 855-935-4214. That's 855-935-4214.
Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex. Rosalita's offers a full menu of both food and drinks. Try their signature tableside guacamole made right in front of you or piled high nachos. They have a full array of classic Mexican dishes and even more modern specialties, including their Cadillac fajitas. The house margaritas are the best in town, and the specialty margaritas will have you coming back time and time again. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, downtown on Washington Avenue or on Manchester Road just west of 270.
Good one, Dead Man's Curve. About a stingray and a Jaguar XKE. Listen to it.
Stingray late one night, XKE pulled up on the right. Windows, new Jag.
Yeah, challenge me to a drag. You're on, buddy. Sunset and Brown.
Yeah. Hey, Dead Man's Curve.
Frank?
Dead Man's Curve.
I'm not finished.
Dead Man's Curve.
Here comes.
Yeah. Welcome back from Dead Man's Curve.
There it is.
Wow. Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
There it is.
That's
Dead Man's Curve.
Supreme right there.
Woo.
Wow.
Love that music.
You hit that high note.
I like that music.
Hey, Frank, I don't know if you have some, but I have
a little...
Hey,
look who's here, Scott Sherman.
Hey, thank you very much, everybody. It's great to be here.
Ready to win trivia?
I have a little bit of trivial information about the song Dead Man's Curve and the actual Dead Man's Curve in L.A.
Well, I don't know if people are interested. Let me ask everybody. Do you guys want to hear about the Dead Man's Curve?
Yeah,
no.
Nobody wants. Okay, then we won't
we'll do it Saturday.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Dead Man's Curve was at the time in the early 60s part of Sunset Boulevard. And that's what the song was about, the actual part of Dead Man's Curve. Now, was it Jan or Dean or which one got in the car wreck?
Jan
was not in the car wreck on Dead Man's Curve. He was in a car wreck on Whittier, which is near Dead Man's Curve. Oh. However, and
there's always a however in life.
There was a famous person, the voice, famous cartoon person, Mel Blanc,
right,
who's the voice of Bugs Bunny and all those. He was almost killed on Dead Man's Curve 2 years before the song Dead Man's Curve came out. So in 1961, Mel Blanc was actually in an accident on Dead Man's Curve. 2 years later, the song Dead Man's Curve came out, but Jan was never in a car wreck on Dead Man's Curve or on Sunset Boulevard.
Wow. Scott Sherman. Wow. Research assistant. One day, we need to take like the 3 o'clock hour and play for Limey, if he doesn't know them, or for anybody else, a couple of the songs from the 60s that were the most depressing, sad, sorrow. There's one called Last Kiss.
Oh, that is the most depressing song.
I cannot believe this. You do?
Yeah, Pearl Jam did a cover of it.
I can't believe that song was a hit.
Pearl Jam did?
Yeah, yeah, Last Kiss.
No, he's dying in his arm.
Oh, well, where can my baby be?
The Lord took her away from me. Very good.
I mean, it's a beautiful song, but it's sad.
It was a hit.
Wasn't there one called Tell Laura I Love Her?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Tell Laura I Love Her. Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Depressing.
There are three or four of them like that.
Well, what about the Metallica song, One?
Yeah.
What about the war?
I don't know anything about Metallica.
It's about the war hero who comes back and he's no arms, he's got no legs, and he's blind and he's deaf, but he's still alive.
That's depressing.
It is.
It's a depressing song.
I knew I didn't like Metallica. I didn't know why. Now I know. I have to do this bit of business, and then you're going to get help. You're going to get free legal help. How about that? From Scott Sherman. Here are the numbers you need. Smart people will call right now, and by the time I finish talking about Ballast Dental Care, you will be ready to get your free legal advice. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. If nobody calls, we'll just play some Tell Laura I Love Her and Last Kiss and all the most depressing stuff. Leader of the Pack was another one I liked. It was more about
the pack.
Wow, I can't believe you know these songs. It's not a sad death song, but it's about, you know, her parents. He's a motorcyclist, and they biker, so they hated
him.
Yeah, my folks were always putting him down. Okay, Ballast Dental Care. That's where I go to the dentist. Have for 47 years. I'm inviting you. Personally, you go in there and go, Frank invited me to come here. They're okay with that. Now, who goes to the dentist? Should be everybody. But there are people who they put it off and they put it off and they keep putting it off. And then they realize, I haven't been to the dentist in 10 years. And then when they go, a lot of work, extensive work. And you're lucky if it doesn't lead to other things because your gums are a portal, a gateway for germs to get into your bloodstream, and you don't want to mess with that. 47 years ago, I made my first appointment and had my first visit at Ballast Dental Care, and I have never, ever wanted to go anywhere else. So if you hate the dentist, let's stop that. Let's put an end to that. You don't have a dentist. We'll fix that, too. They're at the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, and, you know, to them, this glove and mask business is big deal. They've been wearing gloves and masks for a long, long, long time. That's what dentists started doing. I don't know when they started that. But when I was a kid, go to the dentist, they didn't have any gloves on or masks, but they have for a while. So you're in good hands, as the Allstate guy says, with Ballast Dental Care. Again, the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. I see a call coming in.
On this side of the
law. We need two more calls.
On that side of the law.
Or more.
Who is right? Who is wrong? Who is for and who's against the law?
So here's how this works.
You
have a legal issue. You want to know your rights. What can I do about that guy who fill in the blank? Or I have a tenant who fill in the blank. Or my son got pulled over. Whatever. Free advice. Good lawyers aren't cheap. This one, for this hour, is free. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Say hello to Scott Sherman, attorney at law.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, guys.
Can I make a special announcement about our... I'm happy and proud to announce that Tim Woodburn will be sponsored yet another month, the month of August, by Scott Sharp.
Wow. Thank you.
Results. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's because of, results that come in from the segment.
And thank you to all the people that not only participate in the segment, but call our office about anything that Tim or Frank talks about. It's greatly appreciated, and it keeps us one big happy family.
All right, let's. We still have a couple lines open here. That shouldn't be, but maybe that'll change. I hope it does. Let's go to Dan. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott, Frank, AM and the PM.
Thank you, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
I had two questions. One of which is, with all this COVID craziness, and they're rushing out for to get everybody inoculated with this untested vaccine. Can they legally force Americans to take a vaccine?
Can I try this?
Sure.
No. You take it, Scott.
No more than any other vaccine.
Yeah. You don't have to get a flu shot.
No.
You don't have to get a shingles shot.
No. Now, could they? I mean, could there be some kind of law or statute? Yeah, but then somebody would challenge it on religious grounds or personal health grounds or whatever, because there are a lot of people that don't have vaccines. And I didn't know they had a vaccine.
Has there ever been, Stacey, he's got a good question. Has there ever been a don't you have to have your kids given certain shots before they let them in school?
Smallpox and other things like that.
Measles, whatever.
Wasn't polio mandated back in the day?
I don't know. I think it was.
I think that for attending school, I think that that would be upheld if they had children doing that.
But how do you show proof of that? Like, what if the Cardinals say you have to show proof of vaccination to come into our stadium? How would you do that?
They're private, so they can have a rule like
that. But how would you show the proof?
They could actually make you wear a Cardinals jersey to go in there.
Well, I think it was with a smallpox shot.
A card?
There was a scar. It left a scar, right, on your arm.
You would have to send that to the nurse. At the school, they have medical records departments. You have to send that over, the proof of those vaccines.
But Dan, the answer is more than likely that would be really, really, that would be a first ever no. You can't force everybody to take a shot, get a vaccine.
This is government action. So if you're talking about the difference between a private school and a public school, a private school could make those students
have
a vaccine.
And I'm the one that mentioned kids. I think he just means, in general, people, probably adults, because kids aren't likely to, die from it.
It tends not to be upheld because there are so many conscientious reasons not to. Religion, in particular, is the one where, especially now with the configuration of the Supreme Court, a religious objection to making someone have medical attention would probably be upheld, that objection. So could they mandate it? They could pass the law. Would it be challenged and probably struck down for people that have an objection to it? Yes, I think so. Would it have to be a religious objection? Probably not, but that would probably be the strongest argument, that you can't make me do this because you're forcing me to undergo medical treatment that I have a religious or other objection to. So I would tend to say no, they can't make you have one if they ever have one. Because I don't think they have one.
Yeah, I was thinking it fit under the Nuremberg Doctrine that came out of the, Hitler doing all these experiments to people. So that's kind of what I was looking at, because my kids went to a private school. They were unvaccinated. Their kids are unvaccinated, healthy as can be, no issues, no cold, no ear infections, anything like that. But that's my own personal thought. The other question I had was, with all this school shutting down, not allowing or going through Zoom or whatever, now how does taxes fit into that? Because I pay a ton of tax going into public schools. So is there any recourse? Because now that the schools are shut down, their cost basis is down considerably. Would I get a rebate on my taxes?
What a great question. But I'm going to say the answer is no, and I'll tell you why. They still need those funds to pay for the technology to do the Zoom homeschooling, right?
This is a conversation I had in my own home. In the home that I live in, we have a kid that goes to Clayton schools. And just this morning, Clayton went from sort of a hybrid to an online. And we've been talking about this for months because it's not as expensive to run the school because you don't have as much stuff to do at the school. But what about the kids and what about the families that don't not only have don't have the technology, part of the technology, they don't have internet. So that money that they're not spending on cutting the grass or rather cleaning the place up or serving lunch, they're going to probably have to spend making sure that all the students have access to the online or the Zoom schooling. But I would like to think, just as every government expenditure is, if they're not spending the money legitimately and there is a surplus, that they would return that back to the taxpayers. But I would like to, I'm still waiting for that to happen. And I don't know that that's happened in anything for a very long time. So I would say cynically, probably not. But legitimately, Frank's point is well taken. While you're not having to clean the gym floor, you got maybe 1,400 kids whose parents either can't afford or don't have some sort of
tablet or laptop.
And these other, you know, just the technology to get, you know, the internet.
Or, what do you do about a kid who lives out in the middle of nowhere and does not have internet service? He doesn't have the opportunity to learn. He can't do the Zoom class thing. Would the school district go out and put a hotspot or something in his house?
I mean, I think they should.
I do too. I don't think it's any different than
any more than going out and getting a bus or, and getting him and dragging him to school.
Or providing lunch for a kid who doesn't have money for lunch.
I think that is an obligation of the school district to give every student the opportunity, an equal opportunity to learn the way that they are learning.
That's where the tax dollars would
be. And that's what, and it may cost more and it may cost less. But I would say this, Dan, don't wait by the mailbox for the government to send you your rebate. They will find a way to screw up the money, regardless.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that because I brought up the option to parents who want to forego or sign a waiver to have their kids go to the normal class because, let's not let science affect our decisions, but the science shows that kids are virtually immune to it. If do you think they would ever offer to parents who want to go through traditional schooling that they still have those classes?
Well, they were going that way. Well, they were doing a hybrid, two days on and 2 days off. That was the plan until Friday when Parkway and I think Kirkwood decided they weren't going to start.
And
that
if the teachers say we're not coming in, boom! Right. I don't care if you want to send your kids or not. No teacher in the classroom.
That's right. And to me, until we figure it out, the districts are going to take the safest, least sort of litigation exposure way to do it. I think litigation is part of what they're thinking about. If we do this and they come back and they get sick, jerks like me are going to sue them.
Yeah.
And and that doesn't mean that it's not the right fit. But why do a hybrid where it's the worst of both decisions? How is it that you could go to school Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in the school and Tuesday and Thursday at home and that be safer than either going to school and doing social distancing or starting the school remotely? It's just a non-decision that is starting to fall apart before it starts. Kind of like, I don't know, baseball. It's just not going to work. You got to either do the best you can for the kids or not. But in the end, it's going to be difficult. And they're going to get blamed one way or another. But they should just do what's the safest for the kids, the teachers, the parents, and the bus drivers, and the lunch people. But right. I don't know. They've had 4 months to do it, and they came up with, well, we'll do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And that just didn't make any sense. So I'm relieved that they're not doing that.
All right, Dan?
Excellent. Hey, gentlemen, thank you very much. I appreciate the service.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Dan.
314-821-0590, 855-282-8255. Kim, you're next. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Great, Kim. How are you?
Oh, I could be better, so I need some legal advice.
Yes, ma'am.
So I have a denied vehicle claim that Progressive Insurance is saying that they will not cover my car accident that happened back in February when I had their coverage. I actually switched coverage on May 26th. The accident happened on February 27th. Didn't know I had as much damage to my car until later when I took it into my dealership to actually have my 10,000 maintenance service. The dealership called me and said, you need to call your insurance company, because I explained what happened in February. So when I called Progressive, I filed the claim. It took them 3 weeks to even get out to the dealership to look at my car. When they finally did, after talking several times with the dealership, they basically stated that they felt that my damage was too recent and that it fell under Liberty Mutual's responsibility, even though I have documentation from Dobbs Tire and Auto that they actually replaced a wheel and a tire back in February.
Kim, do you have a radio or something on in the background?
I do.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anymore.
So, Kim, I know you've got this long, horrible, you know, history here with these insurance companies. When was the crash that damaged what you think is still unfixed damage, according to the body shop or whomever? When did that happen?
February 27th
of 2020.
Yes.
Did somebody else do this, or was it you, or was it?
No, it was me.
It was you.
I swerved and hit a curb, okay, and went up on the curb on my driver's side and hit both of my wheels.
And since that time, had you had another crash of any kind or any collision involving your vehicle?
I did not.
My question would be, did she advise Progressive right after it happened that an incident that some type of incident had occurred, or did you not tell them anything?
I did not, because my deductible is $1,000 and my receipt for my cost for Dobbs was $1,085, so I wasn't going to file a claim.
So the first thing, did you eat that yourself and pay the body shop directly, or did you make a claim until later?
No, I ate that.
Okay.
And paid that directly.
All right, but do you have an estimate, a supplemental estimate that says, you know what, upon further review, here's how much the damage to Kim's car was, and have you sent that to your insurer, or at least your insurer at the time?
Yes.
All right, and then they said no, not because you didn't report it too soon, or, you know, soon enough, but because they're blaming it on something else that may have happened or may not have happened.
Correct.
Kim, how did it take 3 months to realize you had more damage than you thought?
So because I was driving on a brand new wheel and tire, I didn't even notice that my car was even really driving funny. Plus, remember, COVID hit, and so my driving pretty much slowed down considerably because I wasn't going back and forth to the office. And it was probably around April when I noticed that my car seemed like it felt like it was pulling to the left. And then when I would put my foot on the brake, I would feel some vibration. So that's when I called my dealership because I knew I had to schedule an appointment anyway, and I explained it and asked them if they would look at my car at that time.
So nobody had looked at it to assess what this additional damage may have been until you started to notice some driving irregularities or the riding irregularities.
That's correct.
And your dealership, were they the ones that first assessed the damage when you paid for it out of pocket, or did you go somewhere else?
So when I paid for it out of pocket, it was at Dobbs because I thought I just had a flat tire.
You just went to the tire store. And then you went to the dealership and they said, oh, look, there's more.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you do. All you need is an expert opinion from somebody at the dealership that said, hey, this is more, and it looks like based on this damage, it was caused on or about February 27th, 2020.
I got to tell you, this is a very tough one, though. She's going to have a tough time. If I'm the insurance company, and I'm going to say, really? You didn't notice there was more damage for 3 months? What, did you not drive the car at all? I'm just pretending to be the insurance company.
That's what they're going to say. Now, if I'm Kim, I say, first of all, I'm not a mechanic. And second of all, when I took it back, all I asked the dealership is, what's the matter? I didn't say there must be more damage. And they asked me, have you been in a wreck? I said, yeah, the only one I've been in is February 27th. What I was concerned is, Kim would say, subsequent to February the 27th, there was another incident on another curb or something else, and now we don't know what the reason is. So you've got what's called a first party, you versus your insurer, claim, which actually you could have made for the entire amount minus your deductible, and you'd have got a couple hundred bucks for a couple hundred bucks. What I would do is this. I would write to the adjuster, whoever, and I would say, I have, and I would get the opinion first from the people in the dealership. Hey, do you think that this damage, this stuff here, was caused by this only crash that I had February 27, 2020? They go, yeah, it looks like it. Send that estimate and that letter of opinion to them and go, you should reconsider this because I have an expert. I'm telling you, as a subject to perjury or insurance fraud, that I didn't have anything else. And I think for $200 or $300, you should pay that. And if they tell you to stick it, send me an email, because it's not fun to deal with them. But when you have some leverage over them, that's when it becomes okay. fun.
All right, here's what I enjoy doing. Kim, I'm going to pretend to be the insurance agent at Progressive who doesn't want to pay this, okay? And I'm going to ask you this question. How many miles did you put on that car from the time, February 27th or 29th, to you all of a sudden noticed it's pulling and out of alignment? How many miles had you driven?
Close to 3,000.
Hmm. And I'm going to say to you, and you didn't notice something that was there from the minute you had that accident, you just didn't notice it over 3,000 miles you drove, and then all of a sudden you did? That's what I would say.
But that's not what I thought. I noticed. I started noticing, but I thought maybe my alignment, because when I got my tire at Dobbs, they did not do an alignment. In fact, their recommendation was that I need to take it to the dealer because my car was too new, because it's a 2019.
Okay.
So that's when I called my dealer and scheduled my 10,000-mile maintenance appointment and told them exactly what Dobbs told me as well.
What exactly was the? What did they say is the damage? The wheel you got fixed. What else is wrong? What?
I have another cracked wheel and a bent frame.
Okay. Well, this is not easy. This is not going to be easy, Scott.
And is it only $200 more dollars than the $1,000 to fix all this stuff, or is it more?
No. The actual estimate that after the adjuster went out there. And I finally got a copy of
out
that.
Out to the dealership.
It was about $5,600.
Oh, well, that's definitely, very different.
You definitely have to do that. And that might be something that you would need a lawyer's assistance on. Not that you need mine, but, you know, we do this kind of stuff. So, but
okay, because that's an issue I've had. I've talked to three different attorneys. They
hate property damage, and I'll tell you why. There's no money in it. But that's not the point, because here's the point. If I help you or some lawyer helps you get this resolved, now you're our lawyer, your family's lawyer. Then if something terrible happens or something great happens and you need a lawyer,
you're going to call the person that helped you. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Not all fruit is easily picked. So, you know, this isn't the easiest one in the world. It's not going to be a lot of money, but if we do you a good turn, you'll be loyal. Same thing with any other lawyer. But for lawyers to turn people down because they can't make $5,000 fee on a thing, they're morons.
Yeah,
and they're probably not very loyal.
Scott, correct me if I'm wrong. What she's going to need is an expert who says this
is an expert's case.
Is absolutely the result of what happened in February.
And it might have to be tried. So here's what I would say. I don't know who you're thinking about talking to about this. You already called three people that weren't me. That's fine. Hey, that's on you, and that's on them. But if you send me an email, we'll look at it. I think that this is an expert case. And if the dealership has somebody there that will say in writing that that damage was caused by a collision that's consistent with a curb on or about February 27, 2020, and you will under oath swear that nothing else to your knowledge happened to that vehicle since February 27, you got yourself a case.
Okay. All right. I'll send you an email.
Kim, good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Okay, appreciate it. I liked her voice.
It's like somebody that calls up and, you know, they call you and they say, I want to call and talk on the air. And you're like, yeah, well, but would you charge them? Of course not. Well, these lawyers want to make money just talking to somebody on the telephone, or they're not going to look into it for them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think Frank's right on the money, though. I don't think she has a chance if she put 3,000 miles on that car.
Remember the standard. This, and now another term from the legal world. preponderance of evidence. You only have to prove these civil cases, like Kim's, 51% likely. It's not criminal where it's beyond a reasonable doubt.
I'm not against Kim.
No, it's tough.
But I'm just telling you, that's a lot of driving to not have noticed it right away.
And if I'm Progressive's lawyer with her expert on the stand, I'm asking him, can you state beyond a reasonable doubt that this occurred at that exact time and couldn't have occurred in the next 3,000 miles she drove the
car? And that's when I object and say, Your Honor, that's not the standard in this courtroom. Can you say more likely than not, or to what we say for the medical thing, to a reasonable degree of, I don't know, body shop certainty, more than 50% certain, not 95 like reasonable doubt. Can you say it's more likely than not, Mr. Expert, that that damage was caused in February of 2020 by her consistent statement that she hit a concrete curb?
And then and the guys based knew on what evidence?
Based on talking to the guy and seeing if that's his opinion.
And now I'm the insurance attorney after you've said that. Mm-hmm. And again, I say, I ask you again, ma'am, how is it that it took you 3,000 miles to notice damage that you say was done February 29th? It didn't just gradually start getting bad. It was, I don't know.
That's when I knocked the pitcher of water off my table and everybody starts to clean it up and then they forget the question and then we rest our case.
There you go. I hope I'm in her corner. Good luck. I hope she wins. Let's go to Don. Don, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. Greetings and salutations.
Oh, see
you. Don, copycat.
There you go, Tim.
Copycat.
He's AM in the field. What do you got, Don?
I have a very simple question. I went up to a box store and got some filters for my furnace.
I just did that. Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, 20 by 20 by 1 and 20 by 22 by 1.
20, 25 by 1, that's what I got.
There you go.
It's like, okay, so I go back. I come back to my house. This is on Monday. My daughter said, hey, Dad, there's a swipe on your car. Well, I haven't been anywhere other than there. Is there anything I should do about that? Can I go back to see if they got video or am I going to, or should I just go get a estimate from a Complete Auto Body and tell them to come and get it?
Oh, see, I like this guy. Complete Auto Body. Can I take a run at this?
Sure.
Of course you can ask them if they have surveillance and video. There's no law that says you can't ask them. I would. But if they don't have that, I think you're up you-know-what creek, because everybody and their brother would go in there and go, hey, look at my car. Yeah. It happened in your lot when, in fact, it didn't. And people do that all the time, by the way, try to scam the system. It cannot hurt to ask on this date, this time. You knew what day you were there, what time of day. Yeah, I would ask them. Yeah. I don't know that they would have it, Scott.
You can and you should.
Yeah.
Because what they want, this is a customer service thing. Part of having surveillance in the parking lot is that they don't want things to happen in the parking lot. And one of the things they don't want to have happen in the parking lot are people keying cars or stealing cars or smashing them with their baskets. But they don't owe you an obligation to catch who this is. I think the big box store, out of goodwill, will show it to you if they don't have an automatic run over after 3 or 4 days. It tends to be 30 days because most of what they're trying to capture in the parking lot is criminal. Shoplifting, carjackings, and things. And they don't want to tell the police, oh, yeah, you know, we think we had the surveillance of the guy that abducted that kid, but after 3 days, we just tape over it. So you're probably still there. I wouldn't wait any longer than tonight or tomorrow. And they may be helpful.
When did this happen? How long ago?
Oh, this was, what is today? Thursday. Yeah. I was there Sunday, I guess.
Ooh. I don't know how long.
I don't notice it because it was on the passenger side, and I never get in over there. Yeah. I never look around my car.
And that's the only place you went. You went from home to the big box store and home. And your daughter noticed it.
2018, it's got like 11,000 miles on it.
Well, there are only two problems you might have. One, they don't have surveillance. Two, they do, but it rolls over and re-records every 3 or 4 days. Then you're screwed.
Okay. And let's say they have it, and it's, you know, okay. And it's the guy next to you, and you can't get the license plate. So now you're still left with a comprehensive claim on your insurance. But give it a try.
Okay.
You know, here's give it a try. If there's nothing wrong with asking. I was told this, and I don't know, Frank, I heard it. If you don't ask, you don't get.
I made that up.
That's where I heard it.
Yeah, I wrote that.
Frank told me, if you don't ask, Frank, you don't get.
Don, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, the other thing was, after I get a estimate on it, when would you guys say, hey, send it to my insurance or not? You know, I'm 71 years old.
I'd make the claim as soon as you either can or cannot find the other person. Because even if you make what's called a comprehensive claim, and if it was a car that dinged it, a collision claim, you can always have it what's called subrogated. If you, let's say you got the license plate, it takes you 3 weeks to find the person. Your insurer will then subrogate if that person had insurance and caused this and get your money back and your deductible for you.
Okay.
But if you wait 3 more weeks, your insurer is going to kind of go, you know, not they won't pay it, but they go, why'd you wait 3 weeks?
That's the question. Let's say there's a video, it shows something or somebody hits this car, but you can't identify who it is. And you go, does the store have an insurance policy for stuff like this? If it happened on their lot?
No, because what is it that the store has done wrong?
Right.
I have had cases where there are shopping carts that get loose from those little Wrangler devices in the wind and smash into somebody's car. That's on the store because they didn't secure it right.
But
unless it's one of their agents or unless it's something they've done, they're just inviting you to the store. They're not the guarantors of your safety or your car's safety.
Right.
Unless they have a history of a bunch of people in that lot. And I'll tell you the lot that scares me. It's the one on Hanley between the two Metrolink stops and people that are out there by 40 a.m. That is the worst. If people are vandalizing or they're breaking into cars and they know about it, now they have knowledge. But for just little dings or things like this, unless it was intentional and they know that this goes on all the time, they're not responsible.
Don, before you get away, I want to just share something with you. You mentioned furnace filters, and this is an admission of how stupid I am. I didn't know until 4 days ago. I've never known this. I put new furnace filters in, and I had no idea there's an arrow on the furnace.
Yes,
I didn't even know this.
Yeah.
I just put them in. I've been putting them in backwards. I didn't know this.
Well, Frank?
Yeah.
Well, Frank, here's an easy thing. I was in this all my life. I'm actually a mechanical engineer.
Okay.
But I did this forever. Okay, so you're looking at your furnace filter.
Yeah.
Point the arrow toward the blower motor.
Well, I know that now. The arrow is telling you it's pointing to the unit. But I never even saw the arrow. I just put them in like an idiot.
Yeah.
I just learned
that. Well, let me end by saying I have been a true follower of your show for many years, Frank. You know that.
Well, thank you.
My prayers for Dan's mom.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. All right, Don. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to Heath. I like that name. You don't meet many. There's a good bar, candy bar, Heath Bar. Heath, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Mr. Sherman. How are you doing today?
Well,
AM and PM.
Heath, in the 70s, there was or 60s, maybe, there was a show on TV called The Big Valley with Barbara Stanwyck. It was a Western. And one of her boys, the Barkley boys, was named Heath. That's the only time I really have ever heard that name. And, man, my mom, she liked that guy. She watched that show. Oh, those Barkley boys. So there you go. You got a good name. What do you got for Scott?
My mom and dad watch that show all the time, watch too much TV, and that's who they named me after.
So. See? There you go. There. Named Great. After See? Heath from the Big Valley. What do you got for Scott?
My mother-in-law recently passed away, and we've got a car with no title that was hers. And I'm not trying to sell it, or I just need to get rid of it, kind of, you know, put it in a salvage yard or something like that. And I don't know how to go about that. I don't know if I can get a salvage title or.
I have a suggestion. KARS, Cars for Kids, 1-800, Cars for Kids, KARS, Cars for Kids, donate your car today. They'll take it, title or no title. Just donate it, take a tax deduction on it. 1-800 K K-A-R-S for kids. See? Now, some commercials actually work. They actually do, and they make a point, but that's what I do. If it's not worth anything much, tax write-off for it.
Okay. Fantastic.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that's it. Thank you. Man, I actually didn't even need Scott that time.
No.
It is true, though. You've heard that. 1-800-CAR, forget K-A-R. Oh, I think it's brilliant. It's brilliant because it tells you everything you need to know and make sure you know how to spell it when you dial it. And it's probably a good cause. I don't know anything about it, but it sounds good. Let's go to Rick. Rick, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Rick.
I'm AM and a PM, by the way.
Thank you.
I just want to add to that gentleman that was in that got hit in the park on. His name was Don, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had that exact same thing happened to me at a big store. I wasn't in there for air filters, but I was getting something else. And I got hit. And I came out, and it was a pretty substantial. So I didn't know. And I went right back to the store, and I said, hey, I got hit in your parking lot. And I need to talk to security. Security came out, and he said, let me see your receipt. And I had my receipt with me, and on the top of that receipt was the exact time that I checked out.
Uh-huh.
And he took that receipt, went right back to that booth, and he found where the guy hit me. And he said, if you want, you can call the police right now, and we can make a police report. I said, well, it's private property. Does it make any difference? He said, well, you should get something in right. So that's what they did for me. It was fantastic. And they put it on a stick and sent it to me.
They put it on
on a flash drive stick.
Oh, flash drive.
Yeah, they downloaded it on a flash drive, and they sent it to me. So when they found the guy, and they did because his license plate was big and bright, I got paid for it.
Great. Did you get paid by the guy that hit you, his insurance company, or the store?
No, by his insurance company.
In your case, though, you were able to identify him. We're saying, what if it's not a situation where you can tell who it was or what their plate was? That would be different.
That's great customer service.
You're right, though. The thing is, you got to get in there before they change the tape or rotate, whatever they do, because if you wait 2 or 3 days, there's no way he could have found
it. It rolls over and records right. Over it. All right. All right, Rick. Well, thank you for that.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We don't have a lot of time. We do have a line open. We get one more person to squeeze in if you jump on it now. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott Sherman. AM in the PM.
Hi, Steve.
I'll keep it quick. About 8 months ago, I had a roommate that left. We didn't have a contract. It was kind of a verbal thing. However, when he left...
And there's always a however in life.
I did it earlier. It's okay, Steve.
Well, thank you. When he left, he actually took things that didn't belong to him. He took a Sawzall. He took a circular saw. And probably a couple of other hand tools that I haven't found yet. And I didn't notice it for 8 months because I didn't need to use them for that amount of time. Is there any kind of recourse that I have? Is there anything I can do about that?
I'll take a run at it. No, Scott.
Maybe. When he left, did he owe you things like for utilities, rent, even though you didn't have it in writing? Did you make an agreement that he sort of welched on? He didn't pay you?
No, everything was paid off. Everything was cordial. Except he
took, yeah, 8 months ago, I got to prove the guy took the stuff.
He can do something, but not criminally. I don't think anybody, and we're talking about reasonable doubt versus preponderance, that in the 8 months, anybody could have taken that stuff. And even a lousy criminal defense lawyer is going to beat that case, and the cops shouldn't waste their time with it. But you do have Missouri or Illinois, Steve?
Illinois.
All right. There's a thing called conversion, which is a civil version of taking stuff. It's not criminal, so it's not theft, but it's sort of the civil word for theft, conversion. You converted my stuff. It sounds more British. It sounds like something Limey would say. You converted my things instead of stealing it. So you sue this guy in small claims court. How much are the value of the circular saw and the other tools that he took?
I would say they were about
bucks?
400. They were about 400 to 500 new.
All right, so you assume for $800 or whatever the stuff is, and be legitimate about it, and then you put in a part of conversion, which is the punishment part, the intentional act of conversion, not just replace my stuff, but you scoundrel, you converted my things.
Okay,
then you get them for like four or five thousand.
Okay, but I'm that guy, and I go, I don't know what the hell you're talking
you
about.
You served
steal
it.
Your stuff.
Well, then come to court under oath and say it. And if he says that he didn't do it under oath, you lose. But if you believe he took the things, you only have to prove it by a preponderance of the evidence. If you don't think he took it, you can't do it. That's perjury. That's fraud. But if you think that this ex-roommate of yours took your stuff, you would go to a small claims court. I don't even like it. How about associate circuit court over in whatever county you live in and sue this guy, not just for the value of the things to replace it, but for punishment damages up to the maximum, which is somewhere about $5,000, to teach him a lesson not to steal your stuff. You're never going to get him arrested. It's too long ago. But you can teach him a lesson, if you really believe this, in either small claims court by yourself or in associate court in the county in which you reside.
Steve, is there any chance in the world, the slightest chance, that somebody else could have stolen it?
Maybe a 5% chance, and that would be my parents, who are the only other people
who have
access to my shop.
Well,
But that's pretty good, and that would be your avenue. Civil court under a conversion of property theory. If you need some help with it, send me an email. These are not the kinds of things that lawyers like to take, but why not give you some guidance on it? And if you want to do it, go for it. He's a scoundrel.
For something like that, would it be a couple of $100 to get a lawyer on it? Or
I would certainly think
it would be a couple hundred dollars to file it. You'd probably have to do it on your own unless somebody really wanted to do you
money.
A huge
He's
favor. He
should spend more money doing this than the stuff is worth.
Not if he does it on his own, and that's where the small claims court comes in. It is good for these types of disputes.
All right, we got to run. Steve, do you have Scott's email address?
I do.
All right. Well, good luck. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. You have a great day.
All right, I have just enough time to tell you. Steve reminded me of this. I had something installed in my house 2 years ago. I had a nice dolly, you know, like the dolly you move refrigerators on, a blow up tires. And it was a nice one, it was like $250. It's always been in the same spot in my basement. This guy had to go to the basement to run some wires, and he went around the backside of the house when he left in the truck, and I went down there, and that thing is gone. He stole my dolly. I know he did, but I can't prove it. Now I could. I got a camera down there now, but I couldn't prove it. Now, it's so frustrating because I know he took...
Did he work for a company?
Yeah.
You can't ask the company what the guy's name was?
Well, I know his first name. But
well, we'll get his last name. I could look him up and find out where he lives and get...
Well, I don't have his last name. I don't have
well,
his last
name. Well, they would give it to you.
He just had a first name on the work order. But it's so frustrating because I know he did it. We're out of time. Scott, one more time, give everybody your email address.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
There you go.
Frank,
thank you, Scott Sherman. Proud sponsor through the month of August of Tim Woodburn, as you will hear in the next hour when we introduce everyone in the room. We got a full house here today. Even though Dan is not with us, we've not heard anything from Dan about his mom who was in a car wreck right before the show. She was in surgery. That's all we know. If we know when we know more, we will share it with you. Playhouse is coming up. Bill is here. Scott's ready to lose some kind of game, competition, contest. We're glad you're with us. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
590 The Fan, with your local talent covering your St. Louis team. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC
News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Three states are breaking their records for coronavirus deaths today. Arizona, Florida, and Mississippi all set new highs. That's one day after more than 1,400 Americans died on Wednesday. President Trump says the U.S. military is all lined up to help rapidly deploy a coronavirus vaccine once a vaccine is approved. Trump also told reporters he's optimistic about rapid deployment of more rapid testing kits across the U.S.
Pretty close to 50%. I call them short-term tests, but we're up to about 50%, which is amazing.
The late Congressman John Lewis is being given full military honors as he's laid to rest in Atlanta. His flag-draped casket arrived to the gravesite after a packed memorial service. Former presidents and